Wonder if we could turn, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 15. The thought that's on my mind this afternoon is the thoughts of where our hearts are centered, and we'd just like to learn some lessons from this story, this account of Absalom's treachery against David. So we'll read, please, in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so, when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, Moreover, O that I were made a judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now we'll go down to verse 13. And there came a messenger to David, saying, The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And we'll go down to verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee to go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou, and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men with him, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, and the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. Now we'll go to chapter 19, please. Chapter 19, verse 9. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he is fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king, and say to Amasa, Art thou not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, Return thou and all thy servants. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal, and to go to meet the king to conduct him over Jordan. And then the verse I'd like to read in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I think this is earlier on in David's history, but it just shows the devotion of some of David's men to David. 1 Chronicles 12 and verse 18. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, Thine we are, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace be unto thee, and peace be to thy helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. We trust that God would add his blessing to the reading of these portions of his word. When we think of Absalom, he was the third son of David, while David was reigning in Hebron. If we went back to chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, we'd read there of the sons that were born to David. In chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, in verse 2, and it says, Unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and his second was Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And so there we have the first three of David's sons that were born when he began to reign in Hebron. And so as we think of Absalom, he was the third in line to the throne. But we know that there was, because of David's sin, that trouble came to his house. Nathan said to David, The sword shall never depart from thy house. And although David had his sin forgiven and was restored to the Lord, there was these governmental dealings of God that rolled on throughout his lifetime. And we know that Amnon sinned against his sister, and as a result, Absalom hated Amnon and after 3 years had him killed. And so because of that, Absalom had to flee to Geshur and was there. That was where his mother came from, as we read here, that he was the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And so he fled there for a period of time until Joab, through the instrumentality of the wise woman of Tekoa, worked to bring Absalom back. But Absalom was ambitious to be king. And even though David, his father, was the reigning king, we see how far Absalom was prepared to go to gain the kingdom. If we just look back into chapter 14 of 2 Samuel, we read there something about Absalom. Verse 25, "But in all Israel there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty, from the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head. There was no blemish in him." And so here was a man who was good looking. He was ambitious to be king, and he was prepared to go about this in a way that meant, even if it meant the downfall of his father. And so we think of this one who would be would represent to us one who is in opposition to our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of David as the anointed king. God sought him one to reign, a man after his own heart, and David was on the throne. We think of those early days of David when Saul sent him out before the people, and he went out, and it says that the people loved him because he fought with them in their battles. But here we see how the hearts of the people were turned away from David, and Absalom, through flattery and deceit, he stole, it says in chapter 15 and verse 6, in the verse we read, "So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Seems as though this went on for a period of time. Verse 7 says it came to pass after 40 years. There's a difference of opinion as to just what the 40 years refers to. Some think it was 40 years after David's anointing. Others think it should be 4 years. But there was a period of time where Absalom was plotting to overthrow David and to gain the kingdom for himself. And so by this means of meeting the people when they came to the king, he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. And finally, in verse 13, chapter 15, there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." They've been weaned away from their true king, and here they were following one who wasn't worthy of the kingdom. He was a deceiver, and he was one who was seeking the kingdom by flattery and other means that weren't honourable. But David realised the danger, and so he had said unto his servants that were with him, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Let us make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly." So the king and the servants left Jerusalem. And I was just thinking of what we read further down. Just one verse again where it says David went over the brook Kidron. Now I've just been thinking, remember what was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ when he, the rejected king, took that same journey. We read in John chapter 18 and verse 1 that Jesus went over the brook Kidron, it's called there, to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was the rightful king, and yet he was the rejected king. And he went out there to the Garden of Gethsemane, rejected of those of whom he should be accepted. We think of his words in John chapter 5, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Another shall come in his own name, him ye shall receive." And so we think of how, we know this has a future application, during tribulation days there'll be one who will rise up in his own name and gather a following. He'll want the worship and the following that's due to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have an Absalom, one who had sought to gain the kingdom for himself. And David here, he leaves Jerusalem. Verse 23, he passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over towards the way of the wilderness. Now in our first session today, we were reminded of the words of Simeon when he said that a sword shall pass through thine own soul. And then he said that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. And so at this time, when Absalom had rebelled against David, it revealed the thoughts of many hearts in regard to David. Who were they going to follow? Were they going to follow Absalom, or were they going to follow David? Well, we have one faithful man here in chapter 15, beginning in verse 19. He was a stranger and an exile, David says in verse 19. But he was faithful to David. David says to him, "Return to thy place, abide with the king," that would be with Absalom, "for thou art a stranger and an exile." But we have Ittai's reply in verse 21. Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be." I wonder if we were faced with a choice like some of God's people are in lands where there is real persecution for Christ's sake. And we had to make a choice of either following the Lord and suffering rejection and perhaps even death for him, or follow the popular way of the people. I wonder what would be our response. It's easy for us here in this land perhaps to say we'd follow the Lord. But if it really came to that point where we were faced with that decision of either following the Lord, even if it meant death, or following a worldly leader, I wonder, would we be faithful as Ittai was? He said in verse 21, "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or in life, even there shall my servant be." What a faithful man, and what an example to us as we think of our response to the claims of the Lord Jesus upon us. He was given the option of going back and enjoying the peace of Jerusalem, but he chose to go with David. And so David said, "Go and pass over," and Ittai passed over, and all the men were with him. Now, I don't want to take time to go over the intervening details of how there was the battle. Absalom was slain in the battle, and word came to David, and David mourned for the death of Absalom. But then the time came that we read about in chapter 19. So we'll just go straight on to chapter 19. And this is what I've really been thinking about over recent times. "And the people were at verse 9, and all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies.'" Now, I just speak to each one here today, whether younger ones or older ones. If we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, we can think of this. The Lord Jesus saved us. He was willing to die on the cross that our sins might be forgiven. And I wonder, are our hearts true to Him? Are we devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died to save us? "The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. He delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. A usurper was on the throne, but then the usurper had died in battle." And then they say in verse 10, "Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle." God says, "I will overturn until he comes whose right it is to reign." The day is coming when the Lord Jesus will take the throne. He's the only one who's got the right to reign. And I wonder if we are willing to be faithful to him in this time where he is still rejected by so many. Because all who would usurp that place that belongs to the Lord Jesus will pass, and the Lord Jesus will rule and reign in the coming day. And we think of David's faithful men. We have them recorded both in 2 Samuel and also in Chronicles. the faithful men that followed him during the time of his rejection, and the places of honour that were given to them when David reigned. And it'll be the same when the Lord Jesus comes again. And as I understand it, Brother Clive is going to speak about the judgment seat of Christ for the remainder of this week. When the Lord Jesus reviews our lives as Christians, there will be reward, there will be places of honour for those who have been faithful to the Lord in the time of his rejection. And then, going on in verse 10, "Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" That's been what's been really before me, about bringing the king back. And whether we think of the place that the Lord Jesus has in our own lives as individuals, or whether we think of the Lord in the midst of his people in the assembly, as we've been thinking of the assembly as God's cultivated field, God's body. Are we going to bring the king back? Are we going to give him that place in the midst that he is worthy of? Be the very centre of our gatherings. He's worthy of that place. Then the king sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, say, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house?" Judah was the tribe from which David had come from. And these other tribes of Israel, they were speaking about bringing the king back, but Judah hadn't responded up to this stage. And so David sends to them and says, "Why are ye the last to bring the king back?" What a question for us to search our own hearts with. We think of places where the Lord has given a place of honour, a place that he is worthy of. We think of lands where the Lord's people suffer for his name's sake, and the Lord's just so precious to them. He's everything to them. And yet, here in this privileged land, are we the last to bring the king back? Are we prepared to give the Lord that place that he deserves in our midst? And it says in verse 14, "He bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, and they sent this word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants." So I wonder if we could just pause and consider in our heart, where do we stand in relation to the place we give to the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily hearts, lives, in our assembly life? Are we prepared to come to this point, like in those messages to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and at Ephesus they had left their first love, the Lord called upon them to repent. That Laodicea, the Lord was outside, he was knocking at the door. He was saying, "If any man open the door, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And so the Lord is still calling to his people. He wants to be in the midst. And wouldn't it be good if, as a result of our conference meetings here today, that there'd be that response in our hearts that we'd say to the king, "Return thou." That we really give the Lord the place in our hearts, our lives, our assembly lives, the place that he is worthy of. And so this is the message that I've had before me. I don't want to prolong it any further, but we do just trust that God would use his word to search our hearts and to speak to our hearts this afternoon.